FM Talk 106.5, and love your mornings on this Wednesday. Segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. The holidays are over. It's a brand new year. And if you're thinking about those high interest credit cards you used over the holidays and those bills coming due, here's an idea to ease your mind. How about paying off your credit card balances and saving with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream? Roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 5.95% APR with autopay, which is way lower than the national average interest rate of 20% APR. Plus, with Lightstream, there are no fees. No application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties. And the application is so quick and easy, you can do it right from your phone. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And just for y'all, you can apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get that discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. Their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan, Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, it's good to talk to our buddy Jeff Poor. Jeff, of course, with Lanyap, Breitbart, Gillihammer News, host of the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN, and a man who was moderating the AL1 congressional Republican primary debate Saturday in Baldwin County. Hey, Jeff.
Put me on.
There you go. It's good to have you here. You are, as always, all over the state of Alabama because, I mean, you're down here in this neck of the woods. You do your show in the north part of the state, and you're stopping in between to check in on what the people that are wanting the next shot at Senate are doing. You are beyond busy right now. That's cliched at this point.
Yeah, you mentioned the AL1 debate. In addition to that, last night the Republican Women of Huntsville held a Senate forum that I got to moderate. All showed, believe it or not, except for Jeff Sessions. So first time we really got to see Tommy Tuberville and Bradley Burns side by side.
Now, that is interesting because there's been sniping back and forth, but having the two of them in the same place, kind of walk us through what that was like.
Well, there's this perception these debates are going to be like what they see on TV with the Democrats, that they're sniping at each other, that they're taking shots at each other, trying to get some kind of advantage. And much like we saw in AL1, it was kind of like that. Congressman Burr did take a jab, throw out some bait. Hey, Coach Tuberville, over his remarks about veterans last year, but
can you paraphrase that for people who don't remember?
Yeah, so Coach Tuberville was speaking in Muscle Shoals, said that he was really dissatisfied with the way Donald Trump was handling the Veterans Administration, and if he had the opportunity, he would let him know that he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. A bunch of recordings got out. I was actually sitting there, and I you could tell that his people that go with him, Coach Tuberville's, to campaign events, cautioned him to not do that. Nonetheless, the audio leaked out through our friend Todd Stacey's website, and it was kind of a big deal. There was this fear that Donald Trump would get wind of it and maybe tweet something and just kind of wreck a campaign, but he never did. But during the debate last night, Congressman Burr mentioned it, and I thought maybe you would see a back and forth, but Tuberville didn't take the bait. That was really the only kind of out of line thing. You watch these candidates as they kind of trot along, and they get better. You see where they figure out their mistakes, and their stump speeches by now, and you see where they improve upon that. So last night, I think they're trending in their game day conditioning, and they just continue to kind of figure out what works and what doesn't.
And it has to be a lot of the presentation, and then I guess maybe showing people that they're better at it than the other one, because there's not a whole bunch of difference. I mean, we talked about it with the AL1, with policy positions. There's not a whole bunch of difference in at least the top three candidates for Senate for the Republicans. We lose Jeff? Sounds mighty quiet.
Yeah, sounds like I lost that connection.
It says
Yep.
Then we've got I got a major connection issue to work on here. Let's see if we can do this.
And while we wait for Jeff to be reconnected, you know, last night while I was trying to pay attention to the Senate impeachment trial, Jeff Sessions was, as far as I know, the only Senate candidate in Alabama to be on Fox News, and he was on the Tucker Carlson show last night giving his take on the impeachment trial. So from that, I guess, not quite a debate, but that whatever was held yesterday for the Senate campaign, for everyone campaigning for Senate, Jeff Sessions ends up on Fox News, and I'm sure that only helps his cause for the race here.
All right, and we'll get if we don't get Jeff hooked up in a second, we'll go to break and use one of the other methods to hook him up. It's the Jeff Sessions not being there, though, and that's what we're going to get into when we talk about this more with Jeff Poore. We talked about it with Governor Ivey. If you're leading, if you have enough of a lead in the polls. I mean, as much as I want it. Now, as a consumer and a person in media, I want everybody there for every debate. I want them. I want to be able to compare and contrast. But in reality, you know, if you got a lead, you got a double-digit lead, do you do yourself any good? How much can you possibly lose at a debate versus how much you can possibly gain
right
at a debate? And I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, he's basically kneeling the ball. I wonder... are you surprised that Trump hasn't said anything about Sessions being in the race?
Yes, but that may come up here in the next month, or, you know, would it come up in a runoff? And that's what a lot of people are looking at. Hey, Jeff, are you there? All right, tell you what, we don't have Jeff. We'll run the news break. We'll come back more with Jeff Poore, and we'll figure out some way. We'll get a tin can or something and string it between here and Huntsville. FM Talk 106.5. Give this another shot here. Talking to our buddy Jeff Poore. It was not on our side. Jeff, what, you had a powers out at your broadcast facility?
It went out like for like a split second. As soon as that does, it knocks everything offline.
Oh, don't we know around here?
Even very familiar.
Even with a whole bank of battery backups. Oh, don't we know? All right. So we were talking about last night and the debate, Senate debate here. Everybody was there except for Sessions.
Yeah, and you know, he's doing the Pork and Politics event today down y'all's way at the battleship. So you know, you do see these candidates suddenly becoming more interested in Mobile.
Well, we talked about this. You and I talked about this last week, I think on Friday. The way that if you take it for granted, let's kind of run through the top three. You've got Sessions and Byrne, both hometown products. Could you take it for granted that you'll get the vote here? I'd say because you got somebody else who's from here, you got to battle it out. I mean, if it was just Sessions or if it was just Bradley Byrne, you would say, okay, they don't have to pay as much attention here in Southwest Alabama because they got that locked up. But it could split around here.
Well, here's what's interesting. Both of these candidates have come out swinging at Jeff Sessions. It started on Monday with Tuberville. He goes on my radio show, starts talking about the reason that, you know, we're watching all this impeachment underway. It has a lot to do with Jeff Sessions. And said that Jeff Sessions wasn't needed in Washington, D.C. because he wasn't going to help Trump sufficiently. We've heard that 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Byrne yesterday, same thing on the radio show, says the same thing. And I wonder if these guys, it is kind of a bizarre kind of strategy, are like ganging up to go after the lead dog, Jeff Sessions. Do they see something in the polling that says he's approaching 50% plus one? Or, because otherwise you would think they would be going after one another more. And you would think Bradley Byrne taking a vote away from Jeff Sessions only closes the gap between he and Tuberville by a vote. Taking a vote away from Tuberville closes that gap by two votes. Thinking in those terms, then you would expect to see that be the fight for second place. But no, they seem to be kind of coalesced around the idea they need to keep Jeff Sessions under 50%.
Okay, because they got to get – one of them is trying to get in the runoff. Both of them are trying to get in the runoff. Only one would. But that is interesting. People think about strategy here. They are playing for a runoff. I mean, that's the game being played right now. I don't think the Byrne camp – I know they'll say it, but the Byrne camp or the Tuberville camp are going to tell you that they're going to be 51%, right? I mean, they're working for that runoff.
Yeah, no one's silly enough to think that they're going to get that 50+1%, and that seems to be a stretch. It's such a crowded field. Remember, you still have Roy Moore out there. He'll get some votes. He may hit 10%. And you also have Arnold Mooney. He'll get a handful of votes in the Birmingham market. So that's the game. You get into that runoff, though, even if you lose big, or you lose by a margin that's, whatever, 20 points or something, you still got a shot. I think it's a 50-50 jump ball if you get into the runoff.
Okay. Let's talk about getting there and the process, because if their polling is showing that Jeff Sessions is approaching 50%, then former Senator Sessions' polling is showing him the same thing. Is that a reason that he is not showing up at these debates? Is keeping his powder dry, keeping out of the fray?
That may be one of reasons. They may not think that he does well in those forums. When have we ever seen Jeff Sessions in a forum like that? I mean, we've been doing Alabama politics for how many years, Sean?
Lots.
Jeff Sessions has never had a big competition. The last time he raced a competitive race, he was against Roger Bedford in that 96 Senate race, so that was ugly. Then before that, Sid McDonald and Jeff Sessions battled it out for the GOP nod. We go back even further to Jimmy Evans and Jeff Sessions, but all of these contests were in the 1990s. And you think how long that's, 25 years ago or 24 years ago. Well, it's changed. You don't have that polish you might have had back then. So they look at it like, we don't want to risk it. We think we could keep doing what we're doing. We can spend a lot of money on advertising, because you certainly see his ads everywhere, and that will get us in range of 50% plus one.
Now, if outside groups, and it's interesting to look at this, we've talked about Club for Growth, and we talked about it for the AL1 race, but in the Senate, I mean, Club for Growth backs Jeff Sessions, but it's as much as them opposing Bradley Byrne, right? I mean, they're in it kind of split.
I would think so. We don't know about how these games work in D.C. There's all kinds of deals, and, Club for Growth, if they throw Jeff Sessions a bone here, will Richard Shelby vote away on something? Think about Bradley Byrne, though. He has a real low score with Club for Growth.
Yep.
I have asked these guys from Club for Growth, what exactly is it with Bradley Byrne that you do not like? And they can't really give you an answer other than look at his, or, they give a score for their politician. His score is real low. Other than that, it just seems to me there's something else there that we may not be privy to.
Okay, but to back up a second, for people to understand this, groups like that, Club for Growth and others, will have some MO. They'll have some reason, raison d'etre, right? And they say, okay, we're about no taxes or growth of this part of the federal government or that part. And so they use a litmus test for candidates, on specific things. It could be, has that person ever voted for a tax increase, or have they ever voted for, deficit spending, or against gun rights, or the whole bunch of different things, right? And these different groups kind of set out their own little narrow angle, and they judge whether the person passes or fails that test.
Right. So they give them a score. They take a bunch of their votes that they thought were important, and do they vote yes or no on them? Here's maybe, this is a hypothetical here. Club for Growth really wants this tax cut. There's a tax cut that's going to help bean farmers or something, whatever. And they think by giving that tax cut, they will, they will help a constituency. That constituency will say, hey, Club for Growth, thanks for your help. Here's a big check. Bradley Byrne votes against that particular tax cut. And that hurts him. But in the meantime, Jeff Sessions is out there. He's talking to the judge and say, hey, look, you get behind me, I'll make sure bean farmers get every tax cut. I'll get my buddy Richard Shelby even giving them subsidies. You get behind me, and then they do these kind of deals like that behind the scenes, and it may not just be for a number of things. It may just be one single issue. So when you see a big group like the NRA, you see a big group like Club for Growth, when you see, even Alpha here in Alabama, there's a lot of that kind of wheeling and dealing and horse trading going on behind the scenes.
And so for people to understand, too, though, that you'll be faced with a vote, okay? You're an elected official in Washington, and you're faced with a vote, and you need to vote for this bill because it does something for your district or your state, depending House or Senate, or it has a special, you know, special part of it that's important to this group. At the same time, somewhere in that bill, it does something else that you measure that as a lesser, you know, lesser evil versus the better good. You vote for the bill, but now your score drops with any of these groups out there that have specific interest areas.
Right. So the bill may have cut taxes in one area but increased spending tenfold in another, or it may just be with this last CR, it was just big omnibus bill thrown on the desk at the last minute, didn't have time to read it, and as Congressman Mo Brooks and as Congressman Bradley Byrne did, they voted against it. The rest of the delegation voted for the bill. But that also damages their score in some ways. And it may not just be just a bill on the floor. It may be a committee thing. But there's lots of moving parts and pieces. And at some point, it could come to the detriment of that, you know, that politician when they're running for higher office.
I appreciate you talking about that because it's good for people to understand how these scores go out and how these groups decide who's their candidate and who isn't their candidate. All right, so just weeks left, 6 weeks left here till the primary. You had the Senate debate there. Hopefully we'll have more going forward. Can you talk for a second? I know it's not in the wheelhouse of AL1, but it is our bordering congressional district. And on Friday, it was intriguing when you laid out what was going on in AL2 and kind of describe to folks what AL2, where does it encompass?
So AL2 congressional district, it goes from the very bottom corner, southeastern corner of Alabama, all the way up through the Wiregrass and in through Dothan, Montgomery, Troy, Ozark, and then into Montgomery. And then north into Montgomery, those northern two suburbs, Wetumpka, which is in Elmore County, and Prattville, Autauga County. So you have, you know, for all the qualities of AL1 and the guys getting along and joking, AL2 is going to be the bloodbath, I think. You had this guy, Jeff Coleman, owns a movie company, just spent a bunch of money, got a bunch of billboards, started cruising. You know, I think when he hit 40-something percent, that's when all these other candidates run and said, uh-oh, we need to do something. So in the days and weeks since then, they found his Achilles heel. He was overcharging the government. He moves military families with his movie company. And had to settle outside, settle with the federal government for $5 million. They're hammering him for that. He's still picking up endorsements. He's a former chairman of the BCA. It's Jeff Coleman. He looks like he's still in okay position. But these other candidates, Troy King, Jessica Taylor, Barry Moore, have got to figure out a way to make more out of his past, I think, to have a shot.
All right, we'll watch that one through your reporting and your radio show as well. And also remind folks, if they have yet to go back and listen to the debate from Saturday, we put it up in podcast form. Your takeaway from the debate you moderated, did you feel we got more in-depth on the candidates than before?
I don't know if in-depth is the word. I think they were definitely more polished than they were in Chickasaw for that debate. I felt like they had a better grasp of the subject matter. So we went back and circled back with some of those questions. Really didn't get an answer that I thought was, you know, that educated, but they had gone back, done their homework. And I think all the candidates across the board have done a lot better. I still think it's a three-man race right now for that seat. I still think it's Kringle, Hightower, and Carl, obviously, because they just have the resources to go at this for a while and spend money on advertising. But as far as their debate performances, I mean, they all pretty much agreed, but this time they knew it, they had a better grasp of the subject matter.
Good stuff. Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time. Tell folks how to reach out and find you on Twitter.
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
There he is, our buddy Jeff Poor, and always a treat to get him in the studio like we did last week. And if you want to go back and catch the podcast, you can go to fmtalk1065.com, front page, and click podcast and find the AL1 congressional debate from Saturday. You could also find it by subscribing at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Deezer, thank goodness.
We are on Deezer.
Deezer, which is a podcasting platform. Right? get it there as well. And but yeah, hopefully you subscribe and get those. If not, you just want to get them a la carte, you can go to the website, fmtalk1065.com. We're coming right back. More Mobile Mornings next.
Hey, 36 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning. How are everybody?
Hey, we're all doing...
How are everybody?
We're all doing great here at FM Talk 106.5. And I know things are going well out on the lot at McConnell. You got a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles.
That's right. We've got some great deals on some used cars. Been buying a few down in Orlando and out in Florida. Got some new body style Enclaves in. Got some new body style LaCrosses in. If anybody's ever driven a LaCrosse, I've been driving a new body style. It is just a fine riding vehicle. Also, don't forget about our new cars. We got great rebates going on. Come check out the new 3/4 ton pickup truck and got some great deals on some used 3/4 ton pickup trucks. Come check us out at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
And you'll also buy cars from customers, too.
That's right. Just give us a, give Gene or I a call, give us the VIN and the miles, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
All right. We appreciate it, Louis.
All right. Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You can go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 837, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Enjoyed bouncing that around with Jeff about the different groups that come in. And you'll hear the ads, they'll run here at FM Talk 106.5 and the TV, and, you know, these packs that'll come in to, they're going to really... The packs, I'm sure there's some example of a pack coming in running an ad about why the candidate they want to win is great, but usually they come in with the negative ads on that candidate's opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it may line up with what you believe, but always just take a second to understand if they say the pack responsible for it. Do a little research and see what their narrow interest area is. And it may line up perfectly with yours and everything's good to go. But know that sometimes you look at a politician has to take a vote and there's a bill, or they say they take a vote and they're going to vote for or against this bill. There's quite often many things, and this is what bothers me, the way we do votes in Washington with all these add-ons and tack-ons in the bill. You don't have straight voting for this item, that item, that item, and they'll argue that it takes too long to do it that way. Okay. The problem is they vote for something that there's something in that bill that the only chance ever to get that in that bill for their district or something back home is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they vote yes for that bill, but there's some kind of poison pill somewhere in the vote that it also said, you know, fund cocaine monkey research or something like that. And then that group that's against funding cocaine monkey research will go, well, your score is way low. We don't back you because you voted for... Well, you did. Yes, literally, you did vote for it, but mm-hmm. you're really voting for another part of the bill. Or, like we talked about, Congressman Byrne voting against this last spending plan, right? Well, I'm sure there's things in there and sacred cows, and people say, well, Bradley Byrne didn't vote to fund this and that. Well, maybe he didn't vote for it because it was full of spending that he didn't believe in other parts. Maybe he didn't vote for it. Like Jeff said, he and Mo Brooks both didn't vote for it because they said, man, we got the omnibus spending bill, and then we had like 2 days to vote on it. Really,
yeah.
I can't find out everything in it, so I would say no. And then so there'll be some group out there that their narrow interest was in that, and they're going to say, well, your score is low because you didn't vote for that. So just take that into account. I mean, and I know it's in the world of good versus bad and simplistic politics, that's not a lot of fun, but that's real. That's grown-up politics.
Yeah, I hate that there's always so much pork in these bills that they pass, and they just like you said, the omnibus spending bill, they add so much in and then only give you so much time to vote on it, and they do that intentionally so that you can pass it through, or at least so that the public here in America doesn't have time to really check out what's in the bill. But with the primaries coming up, I mean, we are coming up on the primaries fast, March the 3rd. I'm a little surprised I haven't seen more negative ads in these races.
Yeah, they're coming. Don't worry.
They're on the way?
All the, with the minor chord music, the dun 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 dun. So and so did such and such. They don't care for such and such. They hate such and such. Those will come.
Yeah. Speaking of spending with the Senate impeachment trial now ongoing, and they'll be back at it today at noon. Looks like Trump's team, or at least a pro-Trump group, is targeting Senator Doug Jones and trying to sway him to not vote for removal from office. They're launching a $1 million ad campaign directed at Jones, the group America First Policies. And according to Axios, Jones has said that there are gaps in the House case, and he could potentially be a vote to acquit.
Okay. Well, I had the clip I played yesterday during Midday Mobile when Senator Jones was on, I forget which show on CNN, and at one point he talked for about 4 minutes in this clip and said, it doesn't matter which way I vote, to remove the president or to not remove the president, I'll get reelected in Alabama. That's the thing out of all the stories that stood out to me. I got to be positive, I guess. If he's not positive about his chances for reelection, I don't know how many people in his campaign should be, but he said it didn't matter if he voted one way or another. And I would say he's correct, except for I think it's the other side. And hopefully, it looks like we may get him on tomorrow,
okay,
Senator Jones, because I see it the different way. That where is the motivation? People, they'll say Senator Jones needs to vote to not, you know, not vote to remove the president. Are y'all going to tell me something? Just be honest with you. That group that spend the money or whatever. If Senator Jones, Doug Jones, votes not to remove the president, will he keep his seat? I mean, if you have a Jeff Sessions, a Bradley Byrne, a Tommy Tuberville running against him in the general, okay, and Doug Jones did not vote to remove President Trump, are you going to, because you know he's going to have trouble with Democrats in the state if he takes that vote, are you then, as Republicans, going to vote for Doug Jones? No, you're not. No, you're not. Yeah. So, I mean, that's it's silly.
But I could see him actually losing votes on the left if he doesn't vote to
correct
remove the president.
But there's not enough votes there to win. Anyway, so he was correct. No matter which vote he takes to remove the president or not remove the president, I would just change the part that he won't get reelected. And I'm not doing that to be, I know there's people want to do it to get him, be me. No, it's just factual.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has to at least show the confidence, which he did with that answer. But do you think he believes it?
I don't. Maybe he keeps telling himself that it's good to believe it if you're going to have people working for you on a campaign. I just this idea of this group spending money to force, you know, trying to force his hand to get him to vote or not to vote to remove the president. He could take that vote and proudly say, "I'm not voting to remove President Trump," and he's not going to get reelected.
Do you think his team has done internal polling in Alabama to see?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Whether that decision would change anything?
Yes. All right, grab a phone call here, and then I want to get into this MPO stuff. John is in Mobile. He's up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I know this is going to be a big deal, statement, but is there a bigger liar in Washington, D.C. than Adam Schiff?
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a kind of pro ball there, John, in Washington.
Well, then I'd have to say yes, because he's I know what he needs. I know what Schiff needs. Schiff needs his butt beat, you know. And
you want a result to violence against Schiff? He gets under your skin that much?
Yes. And I think as far as Doug Jones, I don't think he's got a prayer to win.
Right, even if he voted, okay, John, for a second, I mean, that's what I'm saying, this group that's spending $1 million to try to make sure Senator Jones doesn't vote to remove the president, if he doesn't vote to remove the president, are Republicans going to line up to go vote for Jones?
I wouldn't vote for Doug Jones if he bought me a car.
Okay, so there you go. So what is that's what I'm saying. You hear these stories, this group has assembled $1 million to get Doug Jones to not vote to remove. It doesn't matter. If you're Doug Jones, you go, yeah, I mean, okay. All right. What are you going to do? Are you going to tell me that now that all the Republicans in the state are going to rise up and reelect me? Come on.
Yeah, they're not. Because, see, the thing is, the Democrats don't understand about the Doug Jones situation is there's going to be 33 other Senate elections going on at the same time Doug Jones is running. It's not going to be a one-off like it was
when it was
the
a special
last time. And I don't think we're going to have Roy Moore as the candidate.
I don't think so either. He's down. He's around 10% right now in some of the polling we've seen. Hey, John, I appreciate the call. I think you need to meditate and kind of just chill. Yeah. Just don't let Schiff get to you that much. I agree with your questioning of Schiff. I just don't let it rile me up as much.
Aggressive.
There it is. 846 FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back. MPO meetings, both sides of the bay today. We'll talk about that. Fifty FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey and his company. Now, 11 years in business in Mobile and Baldwin counties, getting junk gone. And whether you've got a new junk pile that has just popped up or you made that New Year's resolution to get cleaned up for 2020, get organized, get the junk gone. It could be a house you're getting ready to sell, storage unit you're tired of paying on. Could be that stuff up in the attic at your house. It could be stuff around your house. I mean, they'll even get, if you've got the swing set, the giant redwood swing set in the backyard and your oldest child is in their 40s. Your youngest child's in their 30s, get it gone and do it with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Real easy to make that appointment, too. Pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com to make that appointment. So check it out, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, too, I didn't say earlier, congratulations, Chris Vogler, who won those tickets to the Joy of Life Ball coming up February 1st from 7 in the evening to 1 in the morning.
Ooh, yeah.
At the Daphne Civic Center.
We're partying as late as the Senate.
That's right. We're going to party Senate style on February 1st. It is a fun ball. You also, at the same time, are raising money for St. Jude. Tickets available through Joy of Life Bowl Gulf Coast. If you go online, you can go to Joy of Life Bowl. And when you're there, you'll see the little tab that says buy tickets, joyoflifegulfcoast.org. And then you'll see the middle thing says tickets there, and then you can scroll down, get your tickets online. You have through the 31st to get your tickets for a couple. It's $150, and 100% of the proceeds go to St. Jude.
How much?
It'd be 100.
That's awesome.
100. And also, while you're there, we'll be able to meet the King and Queen, local patients from St. Jude. It's just a beautiful thing, beautiful charity, and I like to be able to help out and have a good time while we're doing it. Plus, I'm going to be one of the MCs. A bunch of us from FM Talk 106.5 will be there. You got food, you got drink, you got an auction, you got flyby radio doing the live entertainment. It's big time. I'd love to see you there. It is just go to joyoflifegulfcoast.org and get your tickets, or we'll give you another chance tomorrow to pick up a pair right here at FM Talk 106.5. I want to get to the MPO story here quickly. I know we got people holding it, but I've got to get to the story. Let's just quickly, we'll run the audio from my buddy Bill Riles. He posted this yesterday. It's on WKRG.com.
The Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization that effectively killed the Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project based on the public opposition of tolls. Tomorrow, both the Mobile and Eastern Shore MPOs will meet, and the Block the Bayway Toll Facebook group has asked members to show up just to remind them they're opposed to any toll. Last week, we told you about a proposal from Eastern Shore MPO member and Daphne Mayor Dane Haygood, an alternative expressway project that may be discussed at tomorrow's Eastern Shore MPO meeting. The idea is very preliminary, but Haygood said they'd like to keep the project without a toll. And both the Mobile and Eastern Shore MPO meetings are set for 10 o'clock on Wednesday.
All right, so that is today. And also picture that the whole time that audio is playing, that we're running that the same graphic they ran through the whole thing with the artist representation of, yes, what it might look like with the little cars moving in animation on there. But so you have MPO meetings for both Baldwin County and Mobile County, and that's happening today. This new North Bay Express, if y'all remember, we talked about it last week, would kick off at Virginia, mm-hmm, and dump off. It'd either come from the east, depending on which way, from the west side going east, kicks off at Virginia Street and takes you into Spanish Fort Daphne. Exits on the causeway.
Four lane, right?
Yeah, no exits. So it'd be a separate structure that they think could be done for $1.1 billion, half the cost of what the bridge project is. And on that one, and I had a bunch of people, and this is good. If you disagree with me, that's cool. That's what we're all about. When I said last week, I think that would pass, a bunch of people got so angry. They said, Sean, you're on board for tolls. If there is a new road that is not I-10. Because I believe we need the infrastructure work. There's some people like, I don't want to do anything and no changes. And okay. If there is a new bridge proposal that you do not have to take, it's an option, right? So I-10 stays the same to the Bayway. Everything stays the same. You want to choose to go on this new fandangled thing. If they toll it, that's normal around the country. If they build something. My issue was when they said they're going to toll the Wallace Tunnel. Mm-hmm. That's when I said, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. But if you had a new structure, a bunch of people were like, oh, I can't believe you're for... I said, I'm not for tolls. I'm saying if there's a toll on a new structure that is not I-10, you still use I-10. I-10 is everything's still normal as it is right now. I see that having a better chance of passing.
Yeah, I was, when they said they were going to toll the existing structure that so many of us travel every day, every week, every month, I wasn't surprised by the public being very upset right. about that. But I am kind of surprised at the anger that even discussing the current proposition or the current idea theory they're floating around out there about building this new expressway from Virginia Street, I was surprised by the anger that elicited so quickly. I'd like to know the overall public sentiment, what most people think about if that were to be an actual reality to build that bridge and only have the toll there and not on the existing structure. I think that there would be more people that would be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Than the previous idea,
which is like nobody,
which was
the governor
nobody.
And John Cooper.
But still, this the Fight the Bayway Toll Facebook group, a lot of people still saying no toll at all. They don't want any toll.
And that makes it interesting. Now there'll be some nuances. Last time, I think we were all in lockstep. This one may be more interesting, and we'll discuss that going forward on Midday Mobile and other shows here at FM Talk 106.5. Cameron said, what if Doug Jones is eyeing a run at governor or another seat when he's not reelected? He could then run on the fact that he didn't vote to remove Trump from office. Okay, interesting. You know, Cameron, another thing that was brought to me and brought to my, well, not to attention, an idea that somebody brought to me was that Doug Jones, who is connected to Joe Biden, knows Joe Biden, would be taking votes to make himself popular to be added to a Biden administration. But if you're Doug Jones right now, you're looking at Biden's, it depends on what poll you look at what day, and we'll know some real stuff after Iowa. But what are the odds right now that Biden's the nominee? I'm on record saying way back when I thought Biden would be the nominee. Mm-hmm. Back when you said it would be Kamala Harris.
Yeah,
and
I
you're
was
out.
Way off on that one.
And I think it's going to be Biden. And I'm still two things. Number one, I'm not going to switch at this point to do it because I'm going to be stubborn. And mm-hmm. I still can see a path for Joe Biden being the nominee for the Democrats. But one of the ideas was that moves that Doug Jones would make now would be more related to what his next gig would be with a Biden administration than it would be for what his future in the Senate would mm-hmm. be. That's just an idea offered. And Cameron offers one here as well that he might be wanting to run for a statewide office. But still, I don't know, Cameron, if he didn't vote to remove Trump, might help him a little bit in Alabama, which has the highest favorability rate for President Trump of any state in the nation. But I still don't think he wins. Say he was in the gubernatorial cycle, I still don't think he wins. I mean, guy's a good politician. A guy, I'll have him hopefully on tomorrow or Friday. He's great to talk to, but I don't think he wins statewide.
Yeah. No one gave him a chance against Roy Moore. Yeah,
you're right.
That a different year, different election. Who knows? I don't know. He seems to be confident.
All right. A reminder, a programming note for today. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, it's going to be What's Working with Cam Barston. We've got Auburn basketball starting at 6, so we've moved the schedule around. So What's Working with Reeves Price, boss at the Hangout Festival, that's at 1 today.